to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash,
Beauty Fades But Dumb Is Forever,
and Dale Hummel.
Read 'em to lead 'em.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Cold, cold, and cold in Illinois.
Yes, it was cold. In Kansas, very cold.
I think over the weekend, I was not here, but -8 with 20 mile an hour winds.
That's very cold.
It's not good.
There was not that cold in Kansas, but it was cold for a Texas kid. So,
how was Kansas Beef Expo?
It was absolutely fabulous, wonderful.
I saw some glitter pictures, so it was obviously, yes, obviously worthy of a glitter slap.
It was glorious. I love that show.
Now, so excited to get to go back. That you judged in the past few months that you didn't use a glitter slap are going to be upset.
Oh, and I'm sure if the show's this coming up next month and all this other stuff, don't get one either. And I don't care. It just is what it is.
So I'm going to assume the steer and the heifer got glitter slap.
Yes.
I just wanted to be clear.
Yes, they all did. It's great. But
I had a great weekend in Florida.
Yes, we know you got arrested. Other than that, it was fine.
No, I did not get arrested. I went down there to visit
my son.
I did not get arrested.
I heard you got arrested.
No, we went south, visited friends on Pine Island, and then
No friends in Florida.
Yeah, I have one.
No, one. You don't. Because yeah, you don't like Trump, and that's Trump.
I saw more negative Trump billboards and stickers, unfortunately, in Florida than probably I do here in Illinois. And I'm aware they're pretty big supporters. Now, when you get around the boats or the water, lots of Trump. But you get into some of those areas.
People like, have sense.
Yeah, like I'm going to tell a story about, I thought Alligator Alcatraz was kind of a nickname for a detention center.
I don't know why you thought that.
I don't know. We're heading to southern Florida to Big Cypress National Park. And en route, we see a billboard kind of protesting Alligator Alcatraz, saying that it's an embarrassment for the United States. And I'm thinking, wow, that's interesting. A couple miles further, here's a sign pointing to turn here to go to Alligator Alcatraz. So what would Dylan and I do?
I assume you went, and that's when you got arrested for trying to break into Alligator Alcatraz.
As soon as we turn, there's two police cars on each side of the road that stop everybody. I assume it's for protesting. They didn't ask if I was a protester or a news person or wanted to go. There was no options about getting in. I thought you could at least maybe get close to it. I was incredibly impressed that they are truly in a swamp with alligators surrounding that area. And that's why I went there, is to go find alligators in the Everglades in the wild, not in an alligator park.
This is how I know you do not pay attention to anything that you don't want to, because when Alligator Alcatraz became a thing again, like this was all over the news, like pictures of the facility.
I remember
in the middle of the swamp
when they were talking about building it or converting it, I guess.
Converting it. Yeah. I don't know how.
I knew it was down by the swamp, but I thought maybe they're exaggerating that it was out in the middle of the swamp, but it truly is in the middle of it. We were on these trails and I'm thinking we're going to hike for a little ways, not too far, right? The trails in that particular park and some in the Everglades now, you end up wading knee to waist deep on the trails. Now, why would you want to do that in the swamp when we're seeing alligators everywhere in that area? That just doesn't seem logical, does it?
I think you got arrested. That's what seems.
No, I did not get arrested. We did find many alligators. It was good, really, really good. Had possibly the best seafood meal I've ever had in Everglades City. Stone crab, fresh caught. Never had it before, but it was amazing. I will go back to that city just for that restaurant.
There you go.
It was 82 degrees as well. I was feeling a little bit guilty about the Illinois weather, but they did just fine without me here.
Right.
What about the terrorist attack? Plot, I should say. That was
plot.
Foiled.
Well, at least somebody's doing their job.
That was pretty impressive, I thought.
I mean, at least they're doing, as I said, at least they're doing their job.
And it sounded like these terrorists actually tried to purchase things over. It appeared as though they were trying to, harder than some, to not get caught, or smarter about it, maybe should be the better word for it. Out in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and they've got, I don't know if they're drones or what, but the FBI was watching them set up tables to assemble the bombs. I'd say they were in a little trouble at that point.
No, it's not a good idea, but I mean, literally, we know because of 9/11 and other things, and sometimes they don't do their job at those agencies, and I'm glad that they did this time. I credit that to our president, so.
And I am thrilled that they stopped this one. I hope that we're in a situation where there aren't a string of these going to happen, and we're still going to have problems. Hard telling if they do, don't. I don't know. But hopeful that is it. This was a group from the Turtle Island Liberation Front. I can't say I've ever heard of that. Far left, anti-capitalist, anti-government extremist group. So their motive is fight against capitalism. They need to move to New York, and they'd be fine. They don't have to worry about capitalism there anymore.
Oh, Jesus. Somebody. So the two things that I found quite humorous at the Kansas Beef Expo, that, I mean, the show was great, and Quentin, that crew is just amazing, but it was very long show days, and I was in Ring B, so I had several times where I got caught up, and so because it was so cold, I couldn't, you know, stand outside all the time, so people come up and talk to me. And so the two funniest things I thought about was saying, somebody came up and asked me, because if you remember, which you don't, but we went to New York for Kelly's birthday last year at this time, and somebody asked me, would I be going back?
Which I remember, because I don't know why you would do that.
And because that's where Kelly wanted to go. And so I said, not as long as a communist is mayor. I will not be going back to New York anytime soon as long as the communist is mayor. And then the other thing, which four different people said this to me, and I have to bring this up. So four different people were talking about the podcast and all these things. They said, you know, I have to tell you, you're absolutely right. J.D. Vance is gay. I was like, I know! So I hate to tell you, Dale, your boy is getting outed little by little across the country.
Is there anything wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything.
Is that it?
Do not think there's anything wrong with being gay, but this man is married with children and impersonating a straight man.
As the vice president
of the United States with plans to become the president. Yeah. There is a little problem with that, sir.
So you're saying Trump should have vetted him better to find out if he was gay or not?
No, I have told you from the very beginning, I think Trump did this on purpose. On purpose.
For what reason?
To choose someone as his vice president that he knew whoever he wanted to make the next president could get beat, because there's a big old scary gay skeleton in his closet.
I thought maybe he was trying to get the gay vote.
No, I don't think that was it.
I don't think he gets much of that, does he?
No.
Some. I mean, you occasionally run into a gay person that votes for him, right?
Me.
You said there was one other one somewhere that you ran into, or we had talked
maybe
about one time.
Yeah.
It's pretty limited, I'm afraid.
Well, so I thought those things were funny. Also, speaking of people that are going to run against J.D. Vance, Don Trump Jr. has become engaged, and Dale doesn't think newsworthy, and I think it's very newsworthy, because, I mean, I'm sure there has been someone before TV, and I think James Buchanan, because he was actually gay, but...
out gay or in the closet?
No, but like, if historians and stuff say, because he never got married and he had this special friend or whatever, I just came to light. But other than James Buchanan, I can't remember of a president that had never been married or wasn't married at least when he got elected. But there could be. But anyway, I think that's the big reason that Don Trump Jr. is getting engaged and getting married again, because he has designs to run for office. That's my
got it. And I just pulled it up on Grok, and Buchanan was one of those. That was a very long time ago.
Before TV, before 1857. Before pictures. Yeah.
Now, there were some others that, while in office, were single, oftentimes widowed, I believe. Jefferson, Jackson.
Yeah, but I think they were married when...
Yeah, I think so, too. That's interesting. Obviously, not a formal requirement, but what you're getting
to the public perception requirement.
They will not win unless they're married.
Yeah, public perception requirement.
That's interesting.
And our president is addressing the nation tonight.
Back up a second. Would that affect your vote, whether they're married or not?
No, I'd vote for Don Trump Jr. because he's hot.
Gosh. And you're going to vote for your boyfriend out in California.
No. He is hot, but I would not vote for Gavin. But I would vote for Don Trump Jr. because he's hot.
But
and
so you in Trump's all seriousness, that would not, I know it would not impact your decision on whether to vote for him or not, if they're single or married.
No, it wouldn't, but I think it does a lot of people.
And it wouldn't.
Especially Republicans, very conservative Republicans, that would be a problem.
Well, as long as they don't have a sleepover in the White House, they should be fine.
I'm just telling you, you are not the... You don't...
If there was Republicans. If there was a very qualified single candidate, Republican, conservative candidate...
I don't think he would win the primary.
I would not. It would not bother me at all.
Zero. And you, I don't even think you're a Republican, so...
Oh, my. What other current events do you have?
Donald, our president, is addressing the nation tonight.
What is he going to talk about?
I don't know. I guess I'll find out when I watch.
I don't
Maybe know. He just wants to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I don't know, but
it seems like Vance was out, I saw on the news yesterday, pushing the economy. I assume maybe that's where Trump's coming. I don't know. Hard to say, but I think that appears to be the target of the Democrats, that everything is worse now than it was when Biden was in office. And I'm not noticing that.
No, but I think you should watch. Even though you don't like the president, I think you should watch.
I don't know what I have going on tonight, but if I'm in the house, I will definitely... Oh, you know what? My wife is having a Christmas party tonight. You know what that means for me, Ryan?
I have no idea.
I'm not even allowed to be here.
You don't even celebrate Christmas. You don't believe in Christmas or birthdays or holidays.
She is having her annual Christmas party, just kind of a girls only thing. So I used to take the kids Christmas shopping on that night, but they're all gone. So I guess I'll head to the barn. Actually, I have to go pick up a MacBook because you and Clifton refused to work with me anymore unless I get one.
Well, there you go. The other news that I have is that Melania's new movie is coming out, and she's getting a lot of press, so I hope that's really good.
I heard a little that she had one. I don't have any idea what it even is.
I think from what it's going to be in theaters, and so I think it's just a documentary pretty much about her, but it's coming out sometime in January, I think. But I think that'd be interesting.
Yes. Very interesting.
And then your boy Waltz, I don't think he's getting that.
We talked about that last week a little bit, and I think he's... So, I mean, last week they're saying he's either retarded or corrupt. I think he might be both.
Again, I'm going to stand by what I say. I don't know if the man's smart enough to do this or he had somebody do it for him, but it is mounting that, like, I don't think he's going to survive this.
It's a large dollar number in terms of the corruption.
$8.6 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot for a state, I believe. What about Omar? They tie her to it, all of her friends to it yet?
I don't know. I don't even...
I want to go on the record. I do not like that lady.
I don't like that lady either.
I despise her.
She wears me out.
She's no good. There is nothing good. I may dislike her more than AOC. And that's a big statement.
Oh, and you brought up Gavin, so I'm going to bring this up.
Oh, please don't. Nothing about him positive.
No, it's not. Okay. It's actually very, very interesting. So several celebrities, Halle Berry, I can't remember them all, have all come out and been like, he does not need to be the president. He's done a terrible job in California, yada, 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 all this stuff. So, like, you
these
would think...
These are liberal Hollywood people saying this?
Yes.
Wow.
And you would think those are the people that would be in his back pocket. And,
I thought that would be his big push.
Yeah, and not so much. So, I don't know. It's not looking good for Gavin right now, but...
If you had to pick somebody on the Democratic side to win the Democratic primary, would you not?
AOC. Point? AOC, really? All the way.
See?
I think she's by far the most beatable.
Well, no, I'm not saying who you want, who you think it will be. Yeah, not who
I think that if he runs and he has money and all this other stuff to get his out there, I go back to the fact and, you know, now that Don Juan is just the governor of Florida and not trying to beat Trump, I'm back on okay with Don Juan. But whether you want to admit it or not, Gavin Newsom wiped the floor with Don Juan DeSantis in that debate and just did it just lying out his ass the entire time. No facts, no figures, no nothing. And just literally mopped the floor with that man. And
that is the point that I wanted to bring up, that in a debate, obviously in the primary, he'll do well to get through that. But in the general debate, I don't care who the Republicans put up there. He is going to be a handful in the debate.
Well,
period.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if he can do that with no facts, ever just lying, imagine what he can do to the people that are Democrats that want someone to win. They'll just believe it even more.
Yeah, so, no, they won't. And I would consider DeSantis, I don't know, I would consider DeSantis an average debater. Not a great one, not a terrible one, but he destroyed him, unfortunately. And I'm sure the only person I can think you could throw out there who is no longer with us, somebody like Charlie Kirk. Yeah, he is that good in terms of quick thinking and able to come up with just unbelievable facts off the top of his head. But there are not many people out there that are going to do well debating Gavin, even though everything he says is based on lies. He sells it well.
I think that's why they don't do well, because they know what he's saying is lie, and all they can do is call him a liar. And he's like, no, I'm not.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot to that.
I'm serious. It's like, how do you go against someone that does nothing but just stand up there and make it up as they go along? And when you say, you know, that's not whatever. I mean, he even had Hannity in fits.
Yep. And DeSantis, I think, literally just became frustrated. Just blatant lies that he kept pushing that would wear on a person.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want him to be. I do not want him to run.
No, but he's going to run. And I'm sure things are going to change between now and then, but right now he's going to have a pretty good shot at the primary.
Oh, I've been saying this for a long time, sir, and you just now come to the
room. I mean, I'm pretty sure AOC is going to throw her name in, right? No doubt.
Unless she goes behind Bernie, who's ran for the 700th time.
Hasn't Bernie decided he's too old?
No. I don't think so, because Bernie is back in the news.
Bernie is cognitively, I think, still okay. I'm not picking on him for his age. I don't know the public.
Better than Biden was.
Way better. Way. I mean, I haven't heard him speak in a while, but the last time I did, he seemed, from a cognitive standpoint, fine. I disagree with every single policy issue he has.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Is he still? Formally in support of the New York, the new mayor.
Oh, God, yes. Ugh. For sure.
And AOC's on board, obviously.
I'm sure.
Now, you see, that in itself, would that not be a roadblock getting through the general? They could abuse that.
I think anything that I don't know, I cannot. Like, and this is what I said, and you never... You were against this, but like, this is what I'm talking about. When the communist wins election in New York, you're like, oh, this is going to be fine. It's going to show the world how, whatever. I said, or it can go the other way. Then other communists think they can get elected and this steamrolls. And I think we're on the other end. where the other communists are going to try to get elected.
I hope you're wrong and you're incorrectly stating a fact that I had said. We don't have a choice. He was going to win. And at that point, you might as well get on board that let's hope he sets a terrible example and the rest can see that and learn from it. But history will tell us that it doesn't, people don't seem to look. So you're probably correct on going the other direction. And that snowball effect, that's a problem, a huge problem. I'm seriously concerned, and this is not going to play well with some people, that as a society, the population on Earth, we are no longer subject to natural selection or the strong or intelligent propagating, that each and every year, I'm convinced with each generation, we're dumbing things down. If we just took an IQ test across the population, throw AI into that where you don't need to think anymore, we're in a bad place in the very near future. And guess what? I attribute lack of intelligence to voting for liberals. So we may at some point be liberal forever.
Mm-hmm. You're not giving, which this is going on, but you have not given all the current event information out.
I don't have any other.
Yes, you do.
What?
You were announced as the junior national goat judge and you haven't told everybody.
I was. I did get that call the other day.
No, it's all over social media, sir.
I have been in Florida. I have not been on social media.
It was last night. You were home.
Well, I had things. I appreciate you bringing my... I was aware of it because I got the phone call.
Just saying.
In Grand Island, Nebraska.
Yep. I hope you stay at the new casino.
I believe it was a shorter drive to Louisville.
Just saying,
they bounce back and forth. I'm not familiar. I've never stayed there.
And neither have I, but because I haven't judged there since I haven't. But they have a new casino. I think you should go support.
Well, wait a minute. No, they did have that. They did have it during Exarvin.
I was going to say, you've been there. Since.
Yeah, I didn't. I knew that it was like previous year they were still building it or it wasn't open. The casino itself was open, so I assume the hotel was open. So, that would be the most convenient, would it not?
Thank you. Go support it.
I went to the casino during Exarvin. It was very nice. That would be good. I believe they're getting the hotel room, so I'm not sure where that will be.
There you go.
And I stayed at a friend's house in Florida, Ryan. That's pretty good for me. You know, I'm not very comfortable with those things.
I don't do it.
And I had a hotel Sunday night in Tampa right across from the state fairgrounds. A brand new, I don't even remember what it was, a Hilton, I think. Have you judged the Florida State Fair?
There's like four Florida
State Fairs. This one was the one in Tampa. Have you judged that one?
Very, 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 very long time ago.
Well, I would like to campaign to get that show to judge because that hotel is new, clean, no bed bugs. I'm in on that. I believe that one is in February. So the warm weather, visit my son Dylan. And you're only maybe 20 miles from Plant City. Do you know what Plant City is?
I think I drove through it once, but I have no.
The winter strawberry capital of the world.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know how I pull over for fruit stands and produce?
Yes,
stands?
You almost killed me and Tara one time in Ohio doing it.
Dylan and I stopped and we bought a whole case of strawberries.
That's wonderful.
1 hour later, terrible bellyache, but there good strawberries. Go. Okay. Are you ready for the sponsor? I guess we should go before the main topic.
Yeah.
I would like to acknowledge ShowFresh H2O as our continued partner / sponsor of this podcast. If you are yet to try ShowFresh H2O, please do so. This is just another step in the process to get your show stock to look 100%. I will have samples in Phoenix. Please stop by our pins. Happy to visit and give you a sample. ShowFresh H2O can be purchased at your favorite show supply trailer or at swampfox.com. Read the fine print. Was this my idea?
No. And also, I do want to bring this up because Dale argued with me over some shit. And so I scrolled through all 295 topics the other day to prove my point to him. And Dale's lies, come up with about 20
lies,
of them.
Lies.
Maybe
lies,
20.
Lies,
20 might be
lies, lies. Lies. Lies.
Yeah.
Okay, read the fine print. I promise I didn't come up with that because I'm partially dyslexic. I'm not very good at retaining what I read, so maybe I don't read the fine print.
Well, and so this, I have we've never had it. We have had a at least one topic, and we have talked about rules and rule books on here.
You have brought this up,
but
in various episodes,
but we have never had a topic about reading the fine print, because I'm just going to put it out there right now that if a show has a rule book, the rule book normally is multiple pages and nobody reads it all. And so that's a problem. That's how you get in trouble.
Second, I would like to add to that real quickly. Not only does it have a rule book, but you have your, when I go to look up things, I have to go read the general livestock rules, and then you got to flip through to the actual species rule. Yes. And then it's the market goat versus the breed. There's a lot involved in doing so.
Yes. So it's not just in big shows, normally state fairs, county fairs, national shows, there are three sections that you will need to read. The general rules and regulations, the junior exhibitor rules, or if you're showing in the open show rules. And then you will need to go down to, if you're showing, you know, beef cattle or breeding cattle or market hogs or whatever, there's going to be a whole nother set of rules for that particular division. So, and yeah, you got to read them all, and because things happen. But I just think that this is something that gets overlooked. And when it gets overlooked, this is when people get in, land in trouble that never meant to be in trouble. And or things happen at shows and you didn't know that this rule was there, and now you feel like you've been slighted or wronged and all this other stuff. And more times than not, the show is actually doing what it says it's going to do, but it's just in the fine print. And I can use a real general example right here to start it off. And it's not even shows on rule books, but you go to social media, you'll join those groups that tell you where shows are and all this other stuff, which I do not believe in groups on Facebook. It's a terrible idea. But anyway, and so they have these flyers. And I can't tell you, I'm just going to use this as an example. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been judging a show and someone will come up and they brought a Hereford pig to the show, and the flyer said that there had to be 5 Hereford pigs to make a breed, and there's not 5 Hereford pigs. And so now they're in the crossbreds, but it said the breeds listed, Hereford, Poland, da 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 da, but they didn't read the little bitty part underneath it that said it takes 5 to make a breed. Now these people are pissed. Well, granted, I get it, but you also didn't read the fine print.
Yeah, that seems logical. I'm with you. I believe when I'm going to a show that I've been to numerous times, I'm very guilty to make the assumption it's going to be like the past years, that the rules have not changed, and that will bite you in the ass. But if I'm going to a show for the very first time, and there's not a lot of those that I attend, I will at least pull the book up or try to read some or visit with somebody that I'm sure read it. I have clients or families that one in particular, the show mom, she reads every word, every rule 10 times. So
I am just
going to
tell
refer to her.
Audience members, for the last 3 years, I have had to go to the Illinois State Fair rule book and read something and explain to Dale what he could and could not do. So he's not Illinois, great at it.
The Illinois rules have not changed, I don't believe, in several
years. Then why did I have to go look this up and make sure?
I don't remember this happening.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Was it in the steer show?
Yes.
Got it. I apologize. I was thinking goat show. Yes, in the steer show, you may have read the book a couple times for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it whether we could leave our calf in the stalls overnight?
There was several things, but anyway, that's the point. I'm just saying, Dale's saying this, he ain't the greatest at it, but he does.
No, I did not read the steer rules at the Illinois State Fair. I am positive of that. You already did. I didn't need to.
Exactly. But anyhow, but like Dale said, at the bigger shows, and one thing I'm just going to put out there, and this isn't going to be super popular, but I'm going to put this out there anyway. I can't tell you the number of times that a family has approached me or contacted me and they got caught in a rule violation for something that they didn't even know it was a rule violation. And it, for example, I firmly believe that shows should drug test, and I think that's a great thing, and I think they should do it, and I think they should actually kick the people out that aren't following the rules and all this other stuff, and not hide it. But I also think that you should know what you're getting tested for. And so because even when you read the rules, they do not specifically lay out what animals are going to be tested for. And every show tests for different stuff. There's different screens. There's all this other kind of stuff. Some shows are big about testing for one thing. Others aren't. However, my point is, if you don't know what you're getting tested for, then how are you going to be positive that you're not using that or using a product that has it? For instance, lidocaine. Lidocaine was a problem at a county fair recently. Several people had a problem with it. Lidocaine is found in small dosages in many household things.
Everything.
Right. That you buy at Walmart and put on your animal and you have no idea. And
suntan lotion, lidocaine.
Yes, absolutely.
Neosporin, lidocaine.
Right. I mean, there was a couple years ago, knew somebody that their animal had a problem because of aspirin, all kinds of stuff. But if you don't know what's getting tested for, then you can't go the extra mile and make all the precautions to.
But even something like lidocaine, if they were to list their testing for it, you still have a problem because I have gone into deep conversations with the former state vet at the Illinois State Fair about lidocaine. When you've got people walking through the barns with lidocaine on their hands or their in those fairs.
Anybody can do that.
Yeah. Those fairs that don't understand background or cross contamination, where they don't draw a level, they just do a zero tolerance, which I love the sound of, and we've talked about that. But you have to be smart about it, that a large number of animals at zero tolerance, because the tests can be so sensitive, so many one part per trillion, all of a sudden you're positive for lidocaine when it means somebody went through the barn and tapped them on the head after they had applied suntan lotion. That's not where we need to be. And I know I'm getting off topic there just a little
bit. I mean, I agree, but and the shows say that they're not going to put that out there because then that gives the people cheating an advantage so they know what to use, what not to use. Well, here's my point to the shows. Those people are cheating already. And so there's going to be a set of people that are going to bend, break whatever the rules anyway, regardless of what you do. How about protecting the people that want to actually adhere to your rules? Have we ever thought about that?
I like that. I think the other one, the biggest question I get at shows, if you have an animal that's not feeling well, for example, we've got a weather with a clear snotty nose and we're going into Phoenix here shortly after Christmas. I don't know. I could read the rule book and I haven't read it thoroughly by any means. I don't know that I've read it hardly at all. Can I give that goat a shot of Baitrol? Can I give it a shot of Draxxin or Zactran or what? I think sometimes you have testing that is looking for performance enhancing, your beta agonist and your clenbuterol, things like that are clearly performance enhancing to try to do better in the show. And then you have tests that will pick up things like antibiotics, which I understand there's withdrawal dates if it's a kill show that we have to avoid those issues. But more times than not, it's not a kill show and you've got a sick animal and somebody treats it. And all of a sudden, they're popping on the drug screen and they did nothing intentionally wrong. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so yesterday, we did not. I normally, if this was one of our does, a keeper doe, I would give her probably some Baitrol, maybe some Draxxin, I don't know. A drug that I didn't give this weather, I gave him Naxxel. Why would I give Naxxel? Zero withdrawal. There is no withdrawal legally on Naxxel. Now, nothing's approved for a goat. So technically anything we give a goat is illegal, I guess, or could be thrown out for because the research hasn't been done to approve any products for it. So it's all off label, technically making it illegal. But we went to a product and I'm not saying that Naxxel is or isn't the best product to treat that, but there are other products I would use before that to try to clear up an upper respiratory issue. But I went to Naxxel because I just don't know what they're going to be testing for, if that's logical at all.
And so that's why I am all for, I guess I'm more pro protecting the people that actually want to abide by the rules than worrying about the smaller percent of people that are trying to break them. But that's just me.
And I think sometimes we have it backwards as a show management or show committee.
And so I wanted to get that out there on the drug testing part of reading the fine print and the rules and all this other stuff. But there are tons and tons and tons of rules. And it doesn't matter whether you're at a jackpot show or a state fair or a national show, whatever, that like people just don't realize. And it, for instance, like you go to a show and you see somebody drenching, so you think it's okay to drench. And then guess what? It's not okay to drench, but you're the one that got caught with the drench gun in hand down the goat's mouth. And so you're the one that kid is getting booed out of the show, not the person that you saw do it an hour ago.
I want to use an example, and I hope I'm correct here. At Houston, a few years ago, they switched from allowing you to drench in the pins to where you had to go to the wash rack. And I compliment them because they put signs up everywhere. I'm sure it was in the rule book, but they also posted signs, no drenching in pins, or I don't remember the exact wording on it, but they went above and beyond to make sure that everybody was aware of it. Otherwise, the year before, it was perfectly fine. How many people were going to continue to do that? They weren't going to go open the book up, like exactly what you're saying. And so when shows make that change, that is where people really get caught.
Well, and that just brings up a really good point, because you just said about 5 minutes ago that if you've been to the show and you then you don't reread the rules, but the rules change every year. I know people like you don't think they do, but they do.
I mean, one of those that needs that big old sign sitting there saying, hey, we changed the rule. This
like, I'm not going to use names of shows because I am very appreciative of the show and I don't want them to catch any flack. But one of the shows last year that I go to and attend and we show at in Texas, they allowed you to be able to pump cattle. And they didn't advertise that you could do it, but they took the rule out. And so that makes it a lot easier for us.
But they didn't say, hey, you can pump cattle. They just X'd out the rule.
Took the rule out. So therefore, then you can pump cattle.
So since you read the rules, you were aware of it, and you got your pump out and were pumping your calf, and somebody's looking at you like, you're going to get kicked out. Or I'm going to tell on you.
No. Go right ahead. No.
Well, I remember at the majors, it was always the assumption that no clippers were allowed, or you couldn't clip legs at Houston or San Antonio. But now, everybody's clipping, but you have to use cordless clippers. They just can't be corded plug-in clippers. But that was never very clear. So some people would use the cordless and think
it states in bold letters they got to be cordless clippers at Texas major shows.
I think there was a long time that people still thought that was not legal either, and avoided it. But then more continued. I don't know when it technically got put in the book, but
that's the whole thing. Rules do change every single year. And a lot of rules, maybe they, Dale brought up a point that when they changed the drenching rule at Houston, they made signs and did all this. Well, that doesn't happen at every single show. And some shows don't have rules that they don't broadcast or put out there. But when push comes to shove, it's in there and they're in the right. Like, I'm just going to say that there was a big money show. And they advertise that the grand champions win all this money. And that's great. And here's the kick. In all of their advertisements, there's nothing about that animal has to die. But in the rule book, it clearly states that if you want to take the big check, your animal has to die. Well, this show is pretty kind of known as the jackpot show. But if you want the big check, you got to leave your animal there. Not everybody knows that. And so that's just another point of you've got to read the fine print to understand, because if you went to this show and thought you were winning this huge sum of money, and then they said, well, not unless we keep your animal and it dies, you're probably going to be pissed off if you didn't know that.
Exactly. No, that is a good point. Very good.
Like, I can go through here and list all of these things, but I cannot stress to you how important it is that somebody in your group go through and it's mundane and monotonous and you don't want to do it, but things do change every single year. Rules change, all this other stuff. And so you've got to be on it. Even if you're not concerned that you've ever broke a rule or been in breach of one, I'm telling you, I think somebody needs to read through there to know what you can and cannot do. And also, this won't be popular either, but there is also gray areas, people.
Yes, that was what I was going to bring up. Sometimes you can read every bit of it and it still is unclear where you're at.
Right. And there are going to be people that know the gray areas and use that to their advantage. And so if you're not one of them people, then don't bitch when you get beat by somebody that did. Because that part, I mean, that's where I have said for years and years and years that it's in those gray areas where people really get an advantage that and use it. And that's perfectly fine because they're not breaking a rule.
Agreed. I can remember Denver for many, many years. It was assumed you could not fit legs on goats. And the rules didn't change, but somebody read them a little more closely and decided you could not change the color of the legs. So in theory, if you use clear adhesive, you could actually fit legs. And when that person started doing it, everybody's looking at him like, what the hell's going on here? They're going to get thrown out. Went and questioned with the superintendent to see if we were allowed to do it. And they explained, here's where the rule is. The intent was to not fit legs. But if you read it specifically, if you're using a clear adhesive, you could get away with it. That would be your gray area. Then all of a sudden, everybody's fitting legs.
Right. And I mean, there are some things that are, I mean, just like that, that's a strange rule. The intent of that rule was for people not to be allowed to fit, but it said change the color, not glue. So you go get a clear adhesive and you're, there have been rules that have on changing color patterns, all this other stuff that you can't change the major color pattern of an animal. Okay, well,
where does that define that a little bit?
Okay, well, exactly. Major color pattern. So if it's brown, 51% of him.
If it's brown, it can go black. But if it's green, you can't.
Well, and then you know, if 51% of him's black, but you know his belly and legs aren't black, but we all know that white bellies make them look shallower bodied. That's not changing the major color pattern of the animal. So you can, I mean, that these are very good points of what I'm trying to stress here. Like, that you just don't know until you read it. And if you have a question about it, then email that show, do whatever, and say, can you clarify this for me? And I am going to tell you that some of you will be like Dale and want to call. And you'll want to talk to the person. And then that person is going to talk to you and all this stuff. And that might be perfectly fine. And then you go to the show.
When I communicate in person with a superintendent about a rule that appears to be hard, it isn't as clear as I would like it. I will go ask.
Okay. And see, I'm different because you are that way and that's fine. But my thing is I want in black and white print something from someone that when I asked for a rule clarification, this is what came back. Because then I'm going to do what I think is in within the rules. And if they come to me and say, hey, you're breaking the plate. No, I'm not. Because this came from your office and it's in black and white print.
I get it. I have unofficially become the spokesperson for a lot of the exhibitors at the various goat shows that we're participating in. And I'm not,
Lord, I'm God not, bless.
I'm them. Not sure why they would come to me to ask those questions. So that is in turn when I go and communicate with the superintendent because somebody, an exhibitor, was questioning something in the rule book. And
no, I get that.
And so I will, I'm very cautious to not lead them down my interpretation of it.
Yeah, but see, then that's a one-on-one conversation and it's your word against whoever that person's is, and that doesn't work for me. I want black and white.
Now, every conversation I've had that with a superintendent, they've been very good about holding up to their end of the deal. And there's the biggest one we deal with is no artificial hair allowed on the legs or no building of the legs. If the rule says, Ryan, no building of the legs, does that mean that obviously not twining or putting artificial hair, but can we use adhesives to build that plaster Paris leg by just coating it on and on?
See, I think that's a gray area.
Yeah. I think it's definitely, I would call
what I consider building a leg. You don't have to build a leg with fake hair. You can put layer on layer of top of glue on there, or then you can go get paint that has powder in it to fill in. There's lots of ways to build a leg.
Yeah. They'll pull the leg, powder fill it, let it dry, powder fill, let it dry. I mean, you can continue. It looks terrible, but you can continue to build. You mentioned these Facebook groups. I'm not in them either. However, I got an invitation for one yesterday.
I clicked
the invitation, but it wanted, I don't know, a bunch of information. But it was addressing this issue here. There was a show on the East Coast. I believe the Champion Doe, I mean, the legs were built to levels that, wow, you would not have been impressed. Okay. And they were discussing, they're trying to hide it, that she appeared to not be very good structured, but able to hide.
Oklahoma people, if you're listening to this on Friday, please don't build your sheep and goats.
Oh, they will. They will. On Sunday, they will. Please don't. They will. They will.
It's going to be cold. I'll be cranky. Don't do it. I don't want to yell at people.
So the discussion was, the show, I believe, may have even put in there, you weren't supposed to build legs. And even if you do, should you take it this far? And they had a picture of one that people were sending me. And I mean, if I look at it, I can see that it doesn't, I mean, it's not appealing to me, irregardless of whether the goat's built poorly or good or any of the above. It just is unattractive and not a positive. But everybody's different.
Yeah. I mean, and so like, I know this sounds stupid and repetitive and all this other stuff, but like, I'm just telling you, you just have no idea how much you can get in trouble with, but not even meaning to get in trouble, by just not knowing the rules. And then you also don't know how much you can maximize your animal's potential through fitting all this other stuff by knowing the rules that other people don't, because you're in knowing the gray areas and like that at these Agreed. Shows, as competitive as they are, it is little bitty stuff like that that makes differences, and whether you want to admit it or not, and you better be on it.
And unfortunately, some of those things, exactly as you stated, they may be doing something that really is not a bad thing, but for some reason that show has it in the rules that you cannot. So unintentionally, they've gone to 10 shows prior that were all fine with doing that. You assume you can continue to, but I do appreciate your point. I should do a better job of reading the rules. There is one section, if I'm going to read, that I tend to look up or ask others about. I always, at every show, even if I've been there for several years, confirm if it's 5 pounds on a goat for a weigh-back or 5%. And I think most shows stay with whatever they've had. But I don't know that some people pay attention to that as closely as they should, especially if you're working with a really light goat.
And also, is it over or is exactly. it just over, or is it over and under?
I think the rules are written, if you read them, it would be over and under. But guess what? But
some shows are, some shows aren't.
Yeah. But most people running the scales are just looking for over.
Right.
And exactly. The unders will slide through. Not all, but most.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's another one, you know, and we could sit here and I could go on for days on end about the situations that I know of that where somebody was innocent, somebody was guilty, but all this other stuff. But it majority of it comes back to the fact that nobody read the fine print. They, you know, they said, well, yeah, we knew that you couldn't drench, but we didn't know that you could drench at the wash rack or something like this. I mean, just like the examples that we've used out here today, and then somebody gets thrown out and somebody doesn't, and or somebody uses that rule to their advantage, and then somebody gets mad. And really, the only difference in the situations where somebody had read the rules and knew what they were and maximized the potential, and another person didn't, and didn't know and broke a rule or didn't have that advantage. And so I think it's a really, really important thing that I think of all the stuff that we do, and we spend all this money and all this time and all this effort working on these animals, purchasing these animals, and put all of this in. And a lot of times it's for one specific show is the main goal, even in breeding cattle. You're going to, a lot of times kids target for one show or a group of shows in breeding cattle, but a market animal, in the end, it's targeted for one show and one show only. And we do all of this for months on end, and then we don't take an hour or two to read the fine print in the rule book to know exactly what we can or cannot do. And I just don't understand it. I don't.
I agree completely. And I am guilty of not reading, but usually will ask somebody that has.
No, I just don't understand it. And then the other thing that on the other side of it, I stress to the people running these shows, try to make the rules as crystal clear as possible. And I think a lot, I have heard people say this that run shows, when somebody brings something up about a rule clarification or whatever, and on them, well, nobody reads them anyway. Well, that's not the point. They need to be as crystal clear as they can be to be fair to every single person that's come into your show, because I think the shows are trying to do it for the right reasons, just in all this other stuff and trying to make a level playing field. We all know that I don't believe in rules, and there should only be one, that stock shows start at noon. And then I think rules do the opposite. They make it an unlevel playing field. But if you're going to have them, let's make them as clear as we can be. And the one thing that I forgot that I'm going to close on this on is, and I can bring up Denver last year. Entry deadlines, DNA deadlines, when you have to have stuff submitted for all this, every show is different. And, you know, there was a bunch of people that got left out of Denver last year, Dale included, because of they just didn't read it right.
And no, it was in the book. It was
I'm not blaming Denver. Yeah, it was the way it was, but one day was you had to have your kit or what was
your
it?
Your DNA had to be submitted on a certain date, and then you had to actually enter right after that. And it's been that way for at many shows for a long time, but it was an anomaly last year that so many people missed that one in Denver, and I can't explain why.
Right. But I mean, you got to check up on those things. And I promise you, I was on Dale's ass every single goat show I thought Katie was going to this year about this, like, sir, does this one need DNA? when is this supposed to happen? No, that's because of that incident right there. And so, like, that's another thing. Entry deadlines, DNA deadlines, all that stuff. I mean, those are normally pretty well publicized, but if it is a show that you have to submit DNA and all this other stuff, some of those days are going to be different. And then there's deadlines for submission or to change substitutions, all this other stuff that's normal. When you enter an animal, like a breeding animal, and you take a different one, decide to take a different one of the show, there's normally a time frame that you can substitute. And if you don't do it within that limit, then you're stuck showing the one that you entered first or not showing anything. So again.
No, that is very good. There were some new rules at Louisville this year. You had to upload your health papers before going to Louisville, and you still had them checked down there. There were some other rules in the goat show specifically that were changed at Louisville. I'm sure they were announced. They may or may not have been in the book, but it seems as though when something is changed, whether it's an entry deadline, a DNA deadline, or anything at a show, and those rules, when they change, is where people usually get caught up on it the worst.
Yep. So bottom line is, don't be the person that didn't take an hour or two to read the small details or the fine print and get in trouble at a show. Period. Paragraph. The end.
Agreed. Very good. Are you ready for question and answer?
Do you have a sponsor?
I have one, but they're not starting, I believe, here for another couple weeks.
Then we have no.
But we have room for a question and answer sponsor for a short window.
We have
in case no anybody wants
an answer
like
sponsor. Then we have no. Sponsor.
I will sponsor question and answer for my Angus cattle sale in Canada.
There you go.
The first one comes from Perry. I'm a huge podcast fan and love your show. I am wanting to raise a small number of show goats for my grandchildren. Would I be better off buying bred does or doe kids to get started? And I think this could apply across species.
Well, I would not worry about bred does or doe kids. I would worry about quality. That's what I would worry about.
Agreed.
That's me.
And sometimes anything that's bred, it's maybe a little harder to evaluate the quality because you're past that show window age and what that animal would have looked like at the time it needed to look good for the show ring, if that makes sense. I can tell you a big secret here across species. If we have cattle or pigs or goats or sheep that may not look the best at the age we want to sell them, instead of selling them, breeders are oftentimes smart enough to keep them around, feed them a little harder, get them to touch fat, and breed them. And guess what? When they're bellied down a little bit, Ryan, and a little bit fatter, they can probably look pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to get more money for them then. My philosophy on this, and again, I would follow quality, but it's going to be harder to tell quality on the breads than, say, a younger one. More times than not, if I'm going to have a bred doe sale, and I've taken the time to keep them that long to get them bred, the value of those kids inside that doe, if that doe is pretty darn good, is probably going to be more than what I'm going to get for her as a bred doe. I have the feeling that a lot of times we're selling breds that we don't have as much value in, if that makes sense. And I'm not saying everybody does that, but in theory, if you have faith in that one and they're already bred and that close to calving or kidding or lambing,
then you're
or
not going to turn
be,
them loose unless it's
no,
for
why,
hefty.
Yeah, why would you? It just doesn't make sense, does it? So with that said, and I know it's easier because they're bred, we're going to have babies on the ground. I get it. There's a lot of reasons to do it, but more times than not, I would say, from a quality standpoint, if you're throwing darts, you're probably going to land on a better, younger one. But every breeder's different. Every sale's different. Take Ryan's guidance. And just, if you plan on buying 10 does, let's buy 5 and make them twice as good as what you're planning on. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me.
Okay, I believe Clifton sent us some question and answers. He's been getting a few of these lately. This one's a little longer. And I don't even know if I have their name. Ryan and Dale, my daughter's heifer is 20 weeks pregnant. In the past few months, when she scratches her with a show stick, she relaxes way too much. She puts her tail up high and arches her back. This has created problems during jackpots. The only solution she has found is to not to use the show stick to scratch. Her ag teacher told her she had to use it because if she doesn't, it looks dumb and she'll lose showmanship. My daughter can set up her heifer no problem without a show stick, so we really, really doesn't need it. So it's basically an accessory. Can she just hold it to the side and not scratch her so the heifer stays still, or is better to scratch her and allow her tail to come up and back to be arched? This one's easy, Ryan. You got it.
I don't think this question's easy at all because I think there's a missing component somewhere. But anyway, first off, I'm going to tell you that I think if your child's going to participate in showmanship and you don't have a show stick and you're not scratching, then yeah, you're not going to win. I don't care what the heifer is doing with her tail or her back. Number two, I think the best thing for you to do is to find a place to scratch this animal, whether it's her brisket, underneath her chest, all this other stuff, where she, I mean, obviously, if she's throwing her tail up and arching her back when you scratch her on her underline, there are other places that you could move that maybe she wouldn't do it. Or like you said, maybe if you do it in the brisket or under the chest, she won't do it there. Because I'm just being point blank honest with you. I'm not trying to say that the ag teacher's right, but most judges are going to think that your child is doing something really dumb if you're not using a show stick or you don't have one when you're showing a calf.
So I think that's simple. You find a place to scratch her that it doesn't cause that problem. Yep. Very not never saying don't go out there without a show stick. Just adjust. Don't scratch her wherever that is causing that issue. The next one comes from Bailey. I had a question regarding the recent episode about Fashion Faux Paws.
Faux Paws.
How do each of you feel about sparkles, rhinestones, and the show ring? I know some judges don't mind a little glam and others hate it on a showman. How do each of you feel about this? I would love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I can tell you right now that Dale hates it. And so that's fine. But
I enjoy you speaking for me so often.
Well, then go ahead and speak, because I
don't care what you wear in there as long as you look neat, clean, and professional.
Okay, well, there. I'm very, very proud of you then. Here's my thing. I don't mind a little bling, all this other stuff. Obviously, I'm fine with it. I think it can go too far. And for me, it probably can. I'm never going to be one that like, oh, you're too blingy or whatever. But like, I think for a lot of judges, it can go too far. I will tell you the thing that bothers me is the blinged out show halters and show sticks and number harnesses and all that. Like, if you're going to put bling, put it on your kid. On farmers, a shirt or a belt or something like that, leave it off the animal. Like, I don't like blinged out show harnesses or halters, show sticks, chains, all that other stuff. And I'm out on that completely.
I understand. I think, Ryan, I think you have more people show up with sparkly, glittery type outfits because they're trying to match you. Because they think
it's going to help them.
Well, you tell people to go look at what the judge is wearing.
Yes, and that's why I said it doesn't bother me. But yeah, I'm agreeing with you that more people bling out when they show to me. Agreeing with you. I'm not.
God.
Because it's that they think that it will help them. And so, like, I'll refer to one as Sparkles or Cheater or whatever all day long that comes out there like that. It doesn't bother me. I don't like it on the animals. And I really don't like it on an exhibitor's equipment either. I think that's just gone too far.
Got it. I just received a text. Bets on what President Trump will cover tonight. Venezuela for sure. I guess we didn't talk about that. I assume that will be covered. I never thought about that. I should have. And I was unaware of this. They're telling me that the Epstein files are released on this Friday. I'm totally unaware of that.
Well, they had 30 days.
So that
from when it... Whenever they voted, it was a 30-day window, so that would probably be right, but I had not seen that, no.
I thought they'd make a bigger deal of that, but I have been news absent, so maybe they are.
Now, I do vividly remember when they voted that the DOJ had 30 days from that, when it all passed and President Trump signed the bill, to release it, but I have not seen anything. And granted, I was in Kansas for 5 days and all this other stuff, but I have not seen anything on any news outlet or anything about them being released. And this is Wednesday morning. If it was going to be released Friday, you'd think they'd be making a bigger deal of it.
You would assume exactly that.
Yeah. So,
well, I believe this is the last episode we'll record again before Christmas, but it won't drop before Christmas, correct? Next week is Christmas. So this will be the last one. So yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone. Hope it's good.
Merry Christmas.
Those of you going to Phoenix, obviously you'll be leaving right after Christmas. Be safe. Denver following it. Cattlemen's right in there. A lot coming up here in the next few weeks, Ryan.
I know.
I believe. Yeah. No, it's gonna be good. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. Excellent topic to go over. It was far less painful for me than I thought it would be. I was kind of dreading it just a little bit.
Correct.
But until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear? And ho, ho, ho.